heaven. So let's open our Bibles to Genesis, the 27th chapter. A family in turmoil. No, this is not your life. This is the life of Isaac and Rebekah and Esau and Jacob. A family in turmoil. Or the disintegration of a family. The year is 1928 B.C. Isaac is 137 years old. Esau and Jacob, 77 years old. Over 30 years have elapsed from the time that Esau has sold his birthright to Jacob. The intrigue of this chapter revolves around the desire for the patriarchal blessing. It's quite important to this chapter to understand what this was. If you were to go through the 27th chapter with a blue pencil and were to circle the word bless, you would find it coming up again and again and again. Because the whole episode revolves around the desire on the part of Rebekah and Jacob to circumvent the will of God to get this blessing from Isaac, for Isaac intended to give this blessing to Esau. Now, what was this blessing? The Hebrew word throughout the passage that translated bless, beginning in verse 4, berakah. Now, you're familiar with that word, I'm sure. Berakah. The berakah was the bestowal of prosperity. You must understand that the patriarch, like Abraham and here Isaac and Jacob, that the patriarch was God's representative. As the head of the family, he represented God and was the oracle of God. God used the patriarch to make a divine pronouncement. And the pronouncement that Isaac was going to make was that of the bestowal of divine blessing. The blessing was not in the words. We're not dealing here with magic. Isaac knew better than that, though it seems that he did slip a bit in thinking that having said the words, that he knew that he couldn't at least withdraw them, but he thought that perhaps he could maybe get around the fact that Esau had sold his birthright. Could he possibly have thought that maybe by saying this blessing upon Esau that he could minimize the effects of the sale of the birthright? But there was no magic in the words. Even if Isaac somewhat, if he seems to lean in that direction, there is really no magic. And that this blessing was the pronouncement, in essence, by God. God was speaking through Isaac. And you will see when he offers this blessing in verses 27, 28, and 29, that the blessing is a pronouncement of the prosperity that, well, how it worked out, God brought it upon Jacob. Isaac intended it for Esau. So that was the blessing, a prediction of the future, the benediction of God's prosperity on the individual. The attention in this chapter gradually shifts from Isaac and comes full focus on Jacob. And we're going to be involved with Jacob for quite a few chapters now, up through the 36th chapter. So here's where we are in our background, and we have four family members in this chapter. We have essentially a twofold movement throughout the entire chapter. Rebekah's scheme, verses 1 through 33. Then 34 through the end of the chapter, we find the sequel to the scheme of Rebekah and Jacob. The sequel in terms of Esau's own anger, his frustration, and his threat to kill his brother Jacob. Now the scene then begins to develop in verses 1 through 4. You find Isaac's plan. He plots. He's going to pronounce this blessing on Esau. Isaac should have known better. God had chosen Jacob to be the firstborn, though technically Jacob was not the firstborn physically. Esau was. But, of course, being the firstborn is more than just physical sequence. It was a position, a rank. Verses 5 through 17, Rebekah's counterplot. Then you'll notice Jacob's deception, 18 through 29, and Esau's defeat, verses 30 through 40. Now it seems that there is a very clear revelation here of a fourfold attitude toward the revealed will of God. What was the revealed will of God about this matter of the blessing? What was it? I want to take you back to chapter 25 to see exactly what God's plan was and what they should have known. 25:23. This was some 77 years, wasn't it? 77 years ago, God had made this statement to Rebekah in answer to Isaac's prayer for her barrenness. The Lord said to Rebekah, 25:23, two nations are in your womb. Two people shall be separated from your body. The one people shall be stronger than the other. The older, Esau, shall serve the younger, Jacob. This was a promise, the fact that the messianic line would go through Jacob, not Esau, that Jacob would be the one to receive the birthright. Now, we've seen that in the 26th chapter, that at the end of the 25th chapter, that Jacob went about it in a deceptive way, and he caught Esau in one of those moments of great physical passion for food. Esau regarded the birthright as so inconsequential that he sold it and went on and ate and was satisfied and went up and left, and it didn't seem to bother him at all. But there was Jacob, who wanted the birthright. Well, we've studied those two. There's the clear revelation of the fact that the revelation of God was that through Jacob would come the line of the Messiah. He would have the rank and privilege of firstborn. And what do we find happening in chapter 27? We find four responses to that clearly revealed will of God. I submit to you that here are four typical responses to the revealed will of God. Which one, if any, is your case? I can, I guess, come up with a fifth, because if I don't, it's going to be discouraging, because we have four, I repeat, four inadequate responses to the revealed will of God. What is the revealed will of God? Right here, the Scripture. And we find in this family scene a fourfold response. What kind of response did Isaac have? Well, Isaac disregarded God's will. Isaac is a picture of the self-willed father. The father who is going to see his own desires come through no matter what. Let's look and see. Verse 1. Now it came about that when Isaac was old, 137, his eyes were too dim to see, that he called his older son Esau and said to him, "My son," he said to him, "here I am." Now what he is about to do is that he is about to break his own oath. In chapter 25 in verse 30, I'm meaning Esau is about to break his own oath or word. When Jacob said to Esau, "First swear to me," so he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Esau is about to break that oath because he, I think, has realized over the years what he's done, and he wants to try to circumvent it. But Isaac is the one that we're going to concentrate on for a few minutes, because here is a man who is going to live to be 180. He has many more years to live, but apparently he has given up. Isaac said, "Behold, I am old and do not know the day of my death." Well, that's a Hebrew idiom. Of course, he doesn't know the day. Who does? What he is really saying is that I don't know how much longer I'm going to live. Well, I tell you what I find out about Isaac. Isaac seems to be a very passive person. Now, he has some points, some credits to his account, but he sure has some things to discredit him. He seems to be a very passive person, and he's certainly one who disregards the revealed will of God. He knows better, but Isaac is going to live by his feelings. So, now then, please take your gear, take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out into the field and hunt wild game for me. And prepare a savory dish or a tasty food for me, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, so that my soul may bless you before I die. Now, Isaac was taking matters into his own hand. when he was saying that I'm going to bless you, he was going to Berakah Esau in contradiction to the fact that God intended for Jacob to get this blessing. Now, of course, Rebekah and Jacob do not take the right method to get this, as Jacob didn't the first time. But it was the wrong means to pursue a legitimate end. But let's come back to Isaac. There's his plot. There's his plan. Isaac is a man who lives by his feelings. He is a man who's going to live on all five senses: sight, taste, touch, smell, hearing. And you know what? Every one of them is going to fail him. There's the man who lives by his feelings. Why don't we go on and get a little profile on Isaac right quick before we go to Rebekah and Esau and Jacob? Why don't we anticipate him? Here is a father who was self-willed. Here was a father who disregarded the will of God. He knew better. He knew God's will, 25:23, but set himself to use God's power to thwart it. He was going to take the privilege of pronouncing a blessing as a means of trying to counteract what had already been set. Isaac continued to reveal preference for Esau. He was wrong. He was as wrong as Rebekah was in her preference for Jacob. Here was a man who preferred Esau. Why? Because Esau could do something that titillated his palate, that excited his taste buds. I think there was something else involved, that I think Esau was a man who was aggressive. It was an outdoorsman. I think probably Isaac saw something in Esau that maybe he would like to have been himself, but he wasn't. And Isaac was drawn to Esau because of his personality, because of what he was able to provide for Isaac. Fathers, we've already admonished ourselves on this in a few weeks ago, but here it is again. Be careful lest you show partiality to any of your children over the others because of an affinity for what that child can provide for you, something they do that pleases you, and yet here is another child that doesn't perform the same things. Their interests are in areas that are different than yours. Don't fall to the sin of partiality. Isaac did, and it caused some grave consequences. Isaac lacked spiritual discernment. He lacked spiritual discernment. He could not see through his son Esau. He seems to have disregarded what Esau has done. Do you know what Esau had done? The end of verse 20 of chapter 26 indicates something of further of the nature of Esau. Esau was 40 years old when he married Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite. And they brought grief to Isaac and Rebekah. But here now, later on, 37 years later, Isaac is going to turn around and still pronounce this blessing. And yet Esau has brought him grief. I don't see some spiritual discernment in Isaac that should be there. Isaac ignored the sale of Esau's birthright to Jacob. Obviously, something that was final. Though Jacob had done it by the wrong means, yet Jacob possessed the birthright. He had the rank. He was the one over the family upon the death of Isaac. Isaac placed his personal preferences and natural desires above God's will. Isaac put his own appetite before the will of God, and it had some serious consequences. Isaac further silenced his conscience and disregarded God's will. Isaac is typical. He is typical of the person who would place their goals above God's goals. Isaac is typical of a person who lives by feeling. And again, I repeat, he's going to be failed on every point. He can't see, and so he will rely upon taste. His taste is going to be his downfall. His eyes will be, of course, a downfall. His smell will fail him. His touch will fail him through deception. And he will think that he hears Jacob and will be told by a lie that it is Isaac, that it's Esau. Every time that he relied on his senses, it failed him. Here's a picture of a man or woman who lives by their feelings. You know, Isaac, I think if he was the kind to go to the grocery store, he probably is the kind that would not go to a grocery store unless he was hungry. That's the kind of person who likes to live by feeling. Isaac was a man who lived by feelings. Can I quickly tell you about three or four ways in which you can live by feelings? Of course, you don't want to, but this is how you may if you do. You can live by feelings by, one, do what comes natural. Do what comes natural. Just go on what the world calls intuition, or what the world says, a gut feeling. Two, if you want to live by feeling, avoid doctrinal teaching. Avoid doctrinal teaching. Seek out inspirational messages rather than doctrinal teaching. Simply cater to your own feelings and simply to aesthetics rather than doctrinal teaching. If you want to live by feeling, don't do anything you don't feel like doing. If you don't feel like listening to the Word of God, don't do it. If you feel like watching television, watch television. If you don't feel like visiting someone who's sick, don't do it. Don't do what you don't feel like doing. And fourth, if you want to live by feeling, don't read the Bible when you feel bad, and don't pray when you don't feel like it. That is, just follow the natural course of events. That's all you got to do. It's not hard to live by feelings. It's natural. So if you're trying to live by feelings, just relax. It's very easy. It's the natural thing, and we all tend to be that way. But let me be quick to say, you don't want to live by feelings. They'll fail you every time. They failed Isaac. Here was a man who lived by his appetite. Do you think that maybe Isaac learned something of that behavior? He was a man who lived by his feelings, wasn't he? I'm hungry. Give me some food. Yeah, I'll sell you my birthright. Sold it. That was it. Got up. Walked away. Anything to satisfy his appetite. He could not discipline himself. So there is Isaac, the self-willed man. Now let's anticipate a little bit in Isaac. What's going to be the outcome of a self-willed person? The one who disregards the revealed will of God. You know what's going to be the outcome of Isaac? He's going to live, what, 30, 43 more years? He's going to die brokenhearted. His desires will be dashed. But yet, God is still going to work his sovereign purposes, and the blessing is going to be on Jacob regardless of what Isaac has done. So even if you disregard God's will, God is so sovereign that he'll take his purposes right on through and use your faltering and failure. That's a great lesson. I think Isaac will learn it. I really do. And I don't want you to get completely a bad picture of Isaac. I believe Isaac learns that. We'll see that later on in what he says. He realizes that God, in spite of Isaac, accomplishes his purposes. Well, so much for Isaac, the self-willed father, the man who disregarded God's will. We better give some equal time. Rebecca. Oh, now there's a cookie. Let's look at Rebecca. Oh, was she shrewd. Rebecca was listening while Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game to bring home, Rebecca said to her son Jacob, "Behold, I heard your father speak to your brother Esau, saying, 'Bring me some game, prepare a savory dish for me, that I may eat and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, listen to me as I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me two choice kids from there, that I may prepare them as a savory dish for your father, such as he loves.'" Now, she apparently is confident that she can perform the same culinary art that her son is able to perform. Now, it is not usual that a wife is in competition with a son over preparing meals. But apparently Esau could really whip it out. But Rebecca, you think Rebecca had ever chafed on this point, that Isaac performed, giving him that good dish, I can make it just as well, maybe even better, because he's going to bring in venison and prepare. I'm going to take goat meat, and I'm going to make it a savory dish. So she's really going to work at it.
The thing about Isaac is he apparently can't tell the difference from goat meat with a little bit of tenderizer on it than venison. Well, anyway, go now to the flock and bring me two choice kids. Verse 10, then you shall bring it to your father that he may eat, or that he may bless you before his death. Jacob answered his mother, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man. I'm a smooth man. Now, perhaps my father will feel me. He's going to touch me to see. He can't see well, so he's going to feel me. Then I shall be as a deceiver in his sight. Now, the word for deceiver here means, be better translated, a mocker. It's the Hebrew word ta'ah. It's only used one other time in the Old Testament, in 2 Chronicles 36:16. It means a mocker, and or tricking him is a good translation of it. Jacob is not worried about the wrong that he's doing, but rather that he'll get caught doing the wrong. That's what he's worried about. Afraid of getting caught. Well, I'll bring upon myself a curse and not a blessing. Now look what his mother says. Your curse be on me and my son. Only obey my voice and go and get them for me. That is, go get the goats for me. She was willing to bring down a curse on her because Rebekah was a mother who defied God's will. She defied it. She knew it. She says boldly, she says openly, that let that curse come on me. And do you know what? A curse did fall because her favorite son, and we have no record of the fact that after Jacob left, that she ever saw him again. She may have. But what was dearest to her, this relationship with her son Jacob, you know what? She lost. She lost. Because she defied the will of God to get something for her son, she lost her son as he lived in exile with Laban for those 20 plus years. Rebekah knew God's will but made no approach to God. Could she not have gone with Jacob and said, let's pray about this. Look what Isaac is getting ready to do. That's not right. You have the birthright. But she knew it, but she was not willing to take the biblical approach, the spiritual approach, and seek the will of God. She continued to be partial to Jacob like Isaac was partial to Esau. She continued to sin. She wanted the right thing for Jacob, but she went about it the wrong way. And my, is that policy plagued the church through years. That is, that the end justifies the means. And by that very policy, many churches try to grow their church. Whatever it takes to grow the church, whatever it takes to bring people in, and that has become the demise of many a church. By following the policy, the end justifies the means. Well, that's what she's doing, and what happens? She went, he went, got them, brought to his mother. She took the best garments of Esau's elder son. She put them on Jacob, her younger son. She put the skins of the kids on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. She gave the savory food and bread which had been made to her son Jacob. And now Jacob's deception. His father did what? Disregarded the will of God. His mother defied it. Now we're going to see a son who will deceive for it. He wants it so bad. I don't fault Jacob for wanting it. He was spiritually aggressive. Rebekah was spiritually aggressive. But they were so aggressive that they went in the wrong direction to achieve the objective. And that can happen to you. You may be spiritually aggressive. You may want God's best, but in your eagerness for the will of God, you may be willing to compromise to achieve it. Well, you say, I'm not like Isaac. Oh, I'm not going to disregard it and just say, no, I'm going to get it this way. Watch how Jacob behaved. Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Please, get up, please. Sit, eat of my game, that you may bless me. Well, as the story goes on, so he has to lie and lie and lie and lie. And once you start lying, usually you're going to have to just create a whole string of lies to make the first one work. It's an unending cycle. And he lied, and he lied, and he lied, and he lied.
And he gets the blessing. Verse 27. He came close, he kissed him, and when he smelled the smell of his garments, he blessed him and said, look what he says. This would have been pronounced on Esau had he known. But it came upon Jacob, for whom it was really intended. See the smell of my son. It is like the smell of the field which the Lord hath blessed. Now may God give you of the dew of heaven. That's the desire for prosperity. And of the fatness of the earth. That's, again, prosperity. Abundance of grain and new wine. May people serve you and nations bow down to you. Do you think Isaac understood what he was saying? He was saying exactly what would be true through the line of Jacob. For it would ultimately come that through Jacob would come Messiah. Messiah will rule and reign in Zion, and through him he will rule over nations. So it will be fulfilled. And may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be those who curse you, and blessed be those who bless you. He's pronounced it as God's representative. He cannot call it back. Now, Esau's defeat. We've got a father who disregarded the will of God and lived the rest of his life brokenhearted, losing what he sought. We've got a mother who defied the will of God and lost what she wanted, this very close relationship with her son. We have a son who deceived for God's will, and what did he get? The loss of the family relationship, and having to spend 20 plus years in Laban's own household. Now Esau. What is Esau? Esau despised God's will. He just didn't know it and disregarded it. He despised it, treated it with contempt. Came about as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had gone out of the presence, that Esau's brother came in from his hunting. Then he also made a tasty food. He brings it in. Well, his father's already eaten, and his father realizes this. Now what has happened? And Isaac, his father, said to him, who are you? And he said, I'm your son, your firstborn, Esau. Then Isaac trembled violently and said, who was he that hunted that game, then that hunted game and brought it to me so that I ate all before you came and blessed him? Now look what he says here. You ought to underscore this. This indicates that Isaac realizes something about God's purposes. Yes, and he shall be blessed. I believe Isaac realizes that God is going to accomplish his will even though he's disregarded it. I think that's one of the great lessons of this chapter, and one that's one of the most important lessons that you can ever learn from your study of the Scripture. Here it is. It's already been revealed in the fact of the way God worked in providing the blessing for Jacob, which Isaac had intended for Esau. Here is the principle. I believe that Isaac had enough perception by this time to realize that God, in his providence, works through our sins, errors, and our self-will. God did not condone Isaac's self-will. He did not condone Isaac's error. Isaac paid for it. But God's sovereign providence works through our sins, our errors, our self-will to fulfill what he has already decreed will happen. Think of that. Only a great God can do that. That God can take our failings, our errors, our self-will, and can cause this to accomplish what his will has already decreed. You know, that's exactly what Peter said about the crucifixion of Christ in Acts 2 and 4, didn't he? That you crucified him. You rejected this Messiah. Yes, you killed him. God raised him up. But everything was being done to bring about what? The decreed will of God. You meant it for evil, but God brought it out for good. You're going to see that lesson in the life of Joseph. That is one of the most important lessons that you can learn from the Scripture. It doesn't condone sin, but what may appear on the surface to be a series of accidents, of failures, deceptions, all this turns out to God working his providence and purposes out anyway.
have you have the human side and his failures, deception, sin, and yet God in his sovereignty took all this and is going to bring about his decreed will about anyway. I think Isaac realized it. He says, yes, and he shall be blessed. I think he's learned the lesson. I really do, by the way he stated that. But Esau, let's come back to Esau. Esau is a man who despised the will of God. He heard the words of his father, and look, he cried out. One translation puts it, he burst out. Now, we have a commentary on this. You know, we do in Hebrews chapter 12. Let's look at that chapter just for a minute. The writer of Hebrews, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, comments on this bursting out. And we know that what Esau tried to do. It's mentioned in Hebrews 12, verse 16. When Esau burst out upon that statement, as a result of that statement, yes, and he shall be blessed, you know what Esau was trying to do when he cried out? Hebrews 12 tells us, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright, for, now watch this statement, ye now know how afterward when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, and for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it with tears. I think that is summarizing his entire life, including this episode, when he sought it. But tears of regret were too late. Let's come back to him. Genesis. He said, your brother came, this is Isaac speaking, came deceitfully and has taken away your blessing. Then he said, is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me. Now there is something here in the Hebrew that I'd like for you to see. I'll just use the pronunciation. He uses a play on Jacob's word to give his lament. It's a panamasia in the Hebrew, and it's this way. Listen to the sound. He is moaning. He's saying, he is rightly named Yaakov, for he has Yaakovened me. That here is one who is, maybe I'll bring it over in English like this. Yes, he's rightly called Jacob because he just Jacobed me. He deceived me. And then he said, he took my birthright. And by that word, he says, the Hebrew is bekorati. And then he says, and he has taken away my blessing. And that's berkati. He is so caught up in this that he's just making panamasias and maybe doesn't even know it. Yes, he has birthright me right out of a blessing. He's Jacobed me again. He's bitter. He is so bitter that look what he says. Esau said to his father, do you have only one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, my father. So Esau lifted his voice and wept. Then Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, behold, away from the fertility of the earth shall be your dwelling. Now, what he promises him here is two things. Esau was a man who loved his freedom. And you know what? He's going to get all the freedom he wants. He wanted freedom from his birthright. And he gets all the freedom he wants. He will get freedom to be materially poor. That's the kind of freedom he'll get. He will have the freedom to be materially poor. He says, you're going to live away from the richness of the earth. He's not going to get a blessing, but a cursing. And away from the dew of heaven from above, and by your sword you shall live, and your brothers you shall serve. But it shall come about when you become restless, then you shall break his yoke from your neck. The conflict that's going to come between the Edomites and the Israelites. So he's going to have the freedom to live unblessed and untamed. He despised God's will. And what did he get? He's typical of the unbeliever. Esau was not a believer. Do you see why this family fell apart? We've got a father who lived for self and self only. Lived for his feelings, and that's what ruled his life. We've got a mother who defied the will of God. She knew better, but she looked right at the Word of God, the will of God, and she defied God, and she lost what she wanted. We have a son who deceived for it. He had a worthy goal, but he used the wrong means to get there. And we have another son who just despised the will of God. He is an unbeliever. His value system reveals his character. Here was a man without the Holy Spirit. He had no appreciation for the value of the birthright, and so therefore he despised it, sold it for a bowl of stew. That's an unbeliever. Now there is a fifth response to the will of God, and it's latent in what Isaac finally did. Yes, and he shall be blessed. What is that? And that is obeying the will of God, accepting the will of God. Let me ask you this in closing. Is the will of God what you want out of life more than anything else? Don't disregard it. Don't defy it. Don't despise it. Don't deceive for it. The will of God ought to be what you want more than anything else. And commit yourself to it. And don't let anything turn you from it. What's clearly revealed in God's Word, that ought to be your guiding star in order to determine every decision that you make, every value that you have, every goal you have in life, every priority you establish, the revealed will of God. That ought to be the most important thing in your life. If you as a family have any of these seeds of disintegration, you'll be a family in turmoil. Let's close in prayer. Father, keep us from these pitfalls. And may we exercise the discernment now, as we've learned from these examples, that we will not be blind spiritually like Esau, that we will not take things into our own hands like Jacob and Rebekah, that we will not disregard what you've clearly said in order to get something that we want. But Lord, knowing, may we know that only your will satisfies and brings happiness. In the name of Christ, we ask that you will keep us in that way. In the name of Christ, amen.